What you got?
What do I have? Well, I didn't bring anything with me this time. New things as far as our real focus is marketing and homes that we're talking about.
What you've been up to in solving those problems and stuff.
One thing I just put together about 3 weeks ago, we finished it, so I don't have any results yet. I don't have a clue if it's worth it. Invest about $2,000 in creating referral kits.
Yeah, you were talking about that last time, yeah.
Yeah, I had the idea last time that we just finally actually did it. We have an adult version and a kid's version. There's a glossy folder, customized folder, inside sales letter, DVD, brochure, bunch of different things. And a cover letter that goes to physicians, the kid's one for pediatricians, the adult one for acupuncturists, chiropractors, and regular physicians, where it's they can give it to their patients as a ready-made solution for losing weight or reducing stress or things like that. Or the kid's one is really for ADHD, autism, those kinds of things. So something we're testing. We're going to try about 100 different doctors, giving them each 8 referral kits just to see if any of them come back.
Yeah.
And then in the sales letter, it's a good way for you to give your patients help, but also it's $100 back to the doctor for the referral.
That's actually something. Well, it's clever. Yeah, we talked about it last time. I think it's got a lot of life in it. Yeah.
But that's similar to what you're doing on the web. Mm-hmm. But you're just doing it in the physical, but using real bodies, which is personal testimonials from the physicians and stuff. And that's awesome.
Well, the thinking is, rightly or wrongly, people trust their physicians. So if the physician says, I recommend you go check out this place, it's a good lead.
And that's probably going to be the big challenge, getting them to actually do it. Yeah, but really, what that is—that's like the shock and awe package, right? I mean, that's like shock and awe marketing. I mean, it's pretty, like template, really. That's like the, God, somebody's doing that there's like 10 guys doing that in real estate. I mean, there's a lot of people doing that in other niches, but so this is like a combination of a business to business plus the shock and awe kit. To do referrals.
So it's about $3 a kit, so it's not cheap. So you got to get a few back to make it pay for it. Maybe by next time I can let you know if it works at all.
And the DVD, that's like your infomercial DVD?
Yep.
Yeah.
How is that affecting your intro ratio?
So far, it's not having any effects. We just literally started 3 weeks ago.
No, the sales DVD. It'll have for a while.
How is it affecting the intro ratio? Very hard to say. We've done it now for a couple of years. It wasn't like a huge jump once we added it, but it definitely helps.
Do you know that video for a couple of years? The one you showed us at the last meeting?
The one you showed us at the last meeting, that was for upgrades.
That was a renewal, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, how's that working for you?
Seems to be not hurting. We're not so technical that we're really testing with and without, but
The thing with those on our side of the fence, the renewal DVD, the big deal is that it's designed to overcome the 4 or 5 objections you always get. You know what I mean? So it's designed to overcome commitment, price sensitivity, and all that sort of stuff, and time mostly. How much extra time is it going to take? And we companion that with like a little question sheet. We talked about this, and I'm sure you know the way. But just for everybody's edification, the renewal DVD is like a DVD infomercial that's designed to just help advance the sales process once you get them into the room. And we require it as homework, like a prerequisite that they have to do before they get there, right? And the whole idea is, and it's not 100% of course, but the whole idea is they've already sort of heard the objection about commitment and about price and about how much time it's going to take and these other things from other parents that are basically just helping them talk them out of it. You know what I mean? They're basically giving them all the reasons why, that's irrelevant or why it's, here's the answer to that objection, right? And we companion the DVD with a little kind of a question sheet that they have to sort of fill out, and it preframes those objections, But that's like in the renewal universe, that's really useful, especially in the multi-school universe, because you know every sales guy is different, and you don't have daily contact with all the sales, you know, all the people doing renewals to all the schools. So it's like a consistent message that gets to every renewal prospect. But that's useful. Yeah, I mean, is anybody doing any you know, B2B stuff that kind of fits this format that might be useful to talk about? Business to business is huge right now, by the way. You know, I mean, we're having a lot of guys. I know in Florida, definitely. I have a pretty good, you know, handle on all the stuff that those guys are doing down there on a minute-by-minute basis. But we have businesses that basically had locked us out, for lack of a better phrase. We have, like, a photography studio that does, like, family portraits and stuff like that, that has never, ever, 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 ever wanted to work with us ever before. And I don't know why. But now we have, like, a couple things going with them, you know, because so, like, the recession thing is, like, a good lever on that deal, you know, because now they're, like, open to doing things when before they were just kind of, like, you know, stuck in apathy or whatever, you know what I mean?
Right.
And anybody else doing any business-to-business stuff like that that's useful to talk about?
We went out and we joined a BNI group, which I don't know if you guys know what that is. That's worked wonders for us. I mean, you know, being able to, if a student at the school needs a handyman or insurance carrier or whatever, being able to say, oh, you know, I know somebody. And then being able for them to turn around and, you know, they're all pushing our business in their school. It's been real well for us. I mean, I've been with that about 8 months now, and we've got 10 students out of it.
What is it?
BNI. It's Business Networking International.
Oh, BNI. Oh, I was looking at percent. Okay, I think I know what it is here. It's like a lead exchange thing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, chambers are like that too.
Yep.
Any other thoughts on that? I mean, B2B is really good right now.
We have a Curves next door to us. We did a 3-month exchange where we send them out and home to get memberships.
Yeah.
And vice versa. We have something going on with a local physician where we sent him a sales letter to his client. It wasn't really, it was more kind of advertorial, like, oh, talk about child obesity, you know, how it's an issue. And he wrote his bit about child obesity, and we wrote ours, and just sent that home to both of our client lists.
Yeah.
We've got something going on with a chiropractor now, too. I don't remember the details.
Yeah, I mean, Eric, your list on that was acupuncture.
Acupuncturists, chiropractors, naturopathic physicians, and then regular physicians.
I mean, I'm sure everybody knows, but Eric's a soft stylist, so he's like a kung fu school. So this is all like really kind of in the culture of his school, too.
You could do that with like regular schools as well.
Elementary school?
Elementary schools and stuff, too.
Yeah.
You get to work
I'll give you the 411 on our deal, you know, maybe later this afternoon. But, yeah, I mean, really what we're talking about is like where's the hurt at, right?
Right.
I mean, that's what we're talking about, right? Where's the hurt? And, I mean, the elementary schools is where they're captive. You know what I mean? That's where they're stuck. Daycares and stuff like that, you know. Any other B2B, since we're kind of on that topic, any other B2B
we're doing
stuff that you guys are doing? Or?
We're doing a lot of, actually, they're coming to us now. For some reason, this year, everybody, like, knows who we are, finally, and calling us. We're doing an actual, we're doing. We just finished two after-school programs. We're starting two more simultaneously. Mm-hmm. We've got one this Friday that's doing an all-day. We took over the gym class, but it's not the after-school program. They just want us to teach their PE program mm-hmm. for them, mm-hmm. period. We do that every year. We've got a demonstration at a roller skating rink for their. They have a Kung Fu Panda promotion, and they called us and want us to come out, and they're going to let us skate around in our uniforms and you know, come out for free and put the banner up, and they're going to put a lead box out for us, and then we're going to take their passes and promote them. And the same thing with a dance studio. Some of our kids that have sisters that don't want to do martial arts want to do dance, and they have the same thing with their little brothers watching them tap, and they don't want to do that, and they want to come and do what we're doing. So we're doing a lot of that kind of stuff right now.
I got one I didn't even think of until you mentioned the roller skating rink. We just worked out a deal with we have a minor league baseball team right in our town, and actually, it's kind of funny because one of the guys from our BNI group used to be the president and CEO of the minor league baseball team, and he retired. So he kind of hooked me up What we did was we went in, we met with the president and CEO current now, and then with some of the executives from Tampa. It's actually Tampa Bay Devilrays minor mm-hmm. league team. Mm-hmm. And we're going to allow all their players to train for free at our facility for the right to be able to, you know, say they train there. And also for the right to be able to, we're going to be able to go in a couple nights during their family game nights and fireworks nights and have a booth in the front rotunda. So for us, I mean, you know, that'll be a big lead draw for us. At least we hope.
Yeah, you got to figure out how to capture data.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
The big aha in all this stuff is how do you capture the leads? You know, like if you're going to be in front of a, you know, basketball game or football game or something like that, how do you capture the lead? You know what I mean?
We give like a gift, but in order for them to get the gift, they have to drop a slip in
yeah.
the box. That's,
yeah, you got to bribe them. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. You got to bribe them somehow.
And then we have our guys look at it because they'll just put like their first name and drop it, so we make sure that they check it before they get whatever the gift is.
Yeah, that's always the conundrum. You know, a lot of the, you know, especially, well, some of those little calls and stuff. But it seems like the big breakdown is. You go do an activity. And you get in front of a couple of hundred people, and then you go back to the school and hope somebody comes and calls or something like that. You know what I mean? And that just, you know, this has never happened. It's not effective. You got to collect the lead right there and, you know, bribe them and do whatever you
want. Our demo teams are calling like 30,000 people in the last 2 months.
Yeah.
Virtually no calls.
Yeah. Right.
Just, you know, when you're doing, like, we did UConn Big East basketball grand championships. So it's like 10,000 people in the stadium. There's no way to market that.
Yeah. Well, yeah. How do you capture leads there? You know, I mean, that's
cool, but that's it.
Yeah. It's good content for the website, but, you know, I mean, it's definitely good for retention. It's definitely worth doing things like that, but, you know, it's like, how do you catch your lead on that deal, you know? Yeah, you got to bribe them.
It's all college students and senior citizens, so it's good.
Yeah. I'll tell you the biggest aha on that thing that still works is the child identification kit. Right? I mean, we're doing that on almost all those community, like, the school thing is huge. We'll talk about that later, but the school thing is huge. I mean, that's like, if we didn't do anything else for Malachi schools, that's all they need, right? That's all they need. But we, you know, but the child ID thing was basically like at these movie promotions and stuff like that, you know, is you've got this, like, moving group of people, and you're not going to get them to hold still for long, you know, but you got to get them to hold still for something. So we bribed them with that child ID thing. And the big breakthrough on that was, well, they got to fill the thing out to get the thing so that we can put their information on the kit. You know what I mean? So everybody, we've done that in front of, like, the biggest hit on that has been Target stores for some reason. Like, we put the booth and stuff in front of the Target store. And I think it's probably because, like, it's the best fit for the clients we're looking for. You know what I mean? Like, Walmart, everybody goes Walmart, right? But for some reason, Target seems to be, like, a better fit for us. But, you know, we just set the big table out there and stuff like that. And we have a little camera right there, and we take their picture, and we mail merge it, and we print it out right there, and, you know, whatever. But, and now we're trying to drive them back to the school to pick up their kit. But, you know, but you got their data. You collect all their data. And they're kind of, like, happy to give it to you. You know what I mean? It's kind of a bribe that they're happy to give you their information, you know? Well, yeah. Well, we take your sample.
Yeah, no.
Sometimes we don't do that anymore.
There's a great product that keeps up useful for us as child ID kits with the software.
You don't need software.
Yeah, I was going to say, how do you work that?
You don't need software.
Well, the software just takes the kit that you print and puts it into Excel or vice versa.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah, I mean, I've got one build that works on Champions Way, one build that works on ASF. I think that's it. But,
you get someone to do it that works on Windows.
What, like Excel? Yeah, I don't know how to do that. It'd have to be like an Access database. But, it's just not that, it's just mail merge. All you're doing is mail merging into a Word document. You know what I mean? So,
mail merge with text and a photo.
A photo. That's the challenge, isn't it?
Yeah, that's the challenge. So that's why I like to do it. So
I'm not sure if I know how to do that. I mean, I know how to do it from a database. I'm not sure if I know how to do it from. Let's look at what I have already done, and I might be able to solve it for you. Because I mean, it's just a location. It's a file location. You just have to change the file location. I've done it with Outlook.
Okay.
You can do it with Outlook.
Fairly.
Yeah. I think I can show you how to do that.
You know, somewhere that pretty and sell it to me. So.
Yeah, I know.
Damn. Okay.
Yeah. But I think I can show you how to do it. I think I can show you how to do it. And probably even Google, now, but whatever. You get the idea. But anyway, okay, good. So any other B2B thoughts on this so far? I mean, like the herds are all over the place, right? Daycare, private schools, elementary schools, dance. Yeah, there's all sorts of community fairs and activities, right?
You know, there's something I do, like we go to the like safety fair or these community type events and stuff like that, and we set up a booth. You know, you can have out there, you're doing a demo or whatever the case may be. I built this wheel, and you got to register to spin the wheel. God!
Yeah.
These people line up and they won't leave until they get to spin that wheel.
Oh, everybody wants free stuff, man.
I'm telling you, you go down to, you know, dollar store or whatever and buy a bunch of junk, and it don't matter what it is. It could just, it don't matter. They line up to get junk, and they'll sit there and just, I mean, we do like a fair, I mean, we'll collect, you know, 200-300 leads. It's easy. And they just line up so they can spin the wheel.
So what do you do? Junk. Go into the details, because I'm about to do a school fair.
Oh, and those are killer.
So, you get one of those.
What I did, I mean, there's all kind of ways you can make them. This is what I did. I took a piece of plywood and I cut a ring. Okay, I attached it to an outside of a bicycle rim because it already had the
right
the axle.
You buy them done already.
Yeah, yeah.
They're like $250 to buy them done already.
Wheels. Yeah. You got
those in the case. Really.
Well, I mean that'd be great, but that's just what I did.
Thanks for telling me now.
It was ready to go, but when we put it up there, we just sat there. And you have one person that manages the wheels. And you just spin it every once in a while, I mean, everybody wants free junk. I mean, everybody wants to win. And I made it to where it was, you know, white and, red and blue squares and just one white and one yellow, or one gold. And if it lands on the white, you know, I'd give them like a, you know, 1 month scholarship or whatever. If it lands on the yellow, then they get a 3 month scholarship. But the rest of the stuff is just junk. You know, they just win in junk. And they will line up, and they come through, they sign up at the table, they fill out their information, phone number, email address, all the stuff, and then they line up to spin the wheel. And then you got the table sit there with all the junk spread out. Pick something, you know, and you get to pick whatever, and it's junk.
So
you
got to fill out those slips
to be able to spin the wheel.
Yeah. And so, you know, and what you're getting to is exactly what you need to be thinking. Okay, let's say we're talking about, we might as well. You know, how to make like a booth effective, right?
Right.
And there's different environments, and I can tell you how it works in the franchise thing. You know, I got that one, you know, in the trade show deal. But like, number one is how do you collect the data, right? And number two is how do you, like, slow them down enough to get them there, right? So, yeah, so spinning the wheel, you're making them sign up, you're making them register basically to spin for a prize. Okay, so that solves both purposes. It stops them for a second so you can talk to them, and then it also gets them to fill out the thing.
Exactly.
Anything else on like?
Well, I mean, we had the. I picked this up from Joe, the frisbees.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, that's clever.
I had a bunch of those frisbees made up by Century, and you know, we'll be out throwing frisbees out to people. They go by them, and it is like they flock. And it's got our, you know, name of the school, and it's. And another thing, when we do an area that's indoor that you can set up a video screen or whatever. I created a DVD, which is it's as our demo team and various things like that. It's all cool, and it lasts about 9 minutes. And the whole point of that was just to slow them down.
Exactly.
So we could talk to them and just watch it.
Yeah. Video is really useful.
Built off that frisbee thing that you do, we actually did something with that last year at the end of the summer that worked real good for us. We actually took it a step further where we put on the frisbees that if they returned them to the school. They got 2 weeks of free classes for them.
What
we did was we sent the staff out to drive through local neighborhoods, and anything that had kids' toys or slides or anything in the yard, they got a frisbee on their front lawn. Yeah. And I think we did 15 students off of $500 worth of frisbees.
There's a
that's freaking brilliant. I like that. Hit and run.
So did those frisbees have like?
And you know the best part is, you know, the best part is you get your frisbees back.
That's true. I guess they got to bring it in, don't they? That's clever. That's clever. I'm not sure if I'm going to get the vendor right. James, you may know. But it's either Impact Products. John, you might put this on my to-do list. It's either Impact Products or 3D Mail. One or the other. But they have a mailable Frisbee. You can mail anything. You know that, right? I mean, you can mail anything. Anything you stick stamps on, the post office will deliver for you, right? Within, I mean, there won't be liquids, you know, whatever. But like, you know, you can send a ball. They'll print on the ball and you can stamps on it. But they have Frisbees that have a cardboard insert inside that you can put a sales on it. Right? So you can, it clicks in there. It's like a, you know what I'm saying? You know how the thing is curved? And they put the sales letter in there, and then they have a cardboard thing that has a cutout in it, and it goes, and it holds the sales letter up in it. You throw them? So it's actually mailable. There's a whole mailer you can do. It's either Impact Products or 3D Mail. And, John, if you remind me, I'll figure it out. But that might be a good, I mean, that'd be a good solution to that. Even if you're at an event, you've got the sales letter in it, or testimonial in it, or something like that, or a CD, or whatever you want to put in there. You know? So that's useful. Well, let's stay on this for a minute, because it seems we're a little bit of a tangent off of Eric, but booths and events making these things useful. Any other thoughts on that? The child ID thing, obviously, is a natural fit for that.
There's a big difference between attending a health fair and throwing one.
Yeah.
We throw one in our parking lot every year, and we get 1,000 people in our parking lot every year. Yeah. We capture information because we have a raffle. We have intros right then and there. So we usually do a registration tube that day. We usually get two or three registrations off the leads. And then we always get these annoying registrations who come a year and a half later. Oh, I was at your safety fair back in, you know, 1994. And thought it was so great. It's actually a lot of fun because it also makes you a resource in the community.
Yeah. And what do you invite usually when you do it?
One pediatrician, one dentist, the fire department, the police department, the community police officers, the school police officers. I have a trained safety guy who comes. If you can get the EMTs, the
so like a health life safety fair.
Yeah, I get the life start, and they all come and do shows. The canine unit comes and does a little show with the dogs, and the dance school in the plaza comes, and the we have a little like family owned supermarket in the plaza that comes, and they have visit a basketball hoop and do a basketball hoop every year, and that's pretty much it.
Yeah, there are a lot of work to put together.
The plaza owner advertises it because everyone in the plaza participates, so they just throw some in the newspaper, and then we hand out flyers and put a sign out by the road.
If you can benefit somebody with it, you can get free radio time. You know, if it's like for the police athletic league or something like that, you know. You can get free radio time on these deals, but they are a lot of work to put together. Okay, any other thoughts on trade shows, how to make those things effective? Video definitely is useful.
We use a mascot. We have a mascot. Lion into the costume, and one of our students, of course, and that pulls the kids in. I mean, so they see the lion, they're running over. They want to see what he is. They want to shake hands, and he stands by the spinning wheel. We'll have him spin the wheel and kind of look all excited about it. That boosts response a lot.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Panda would be cool now, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I thought about that. But we'd already gone with the lion, and so he's the other lion.
We have a tiger. We have a tiger. A little bit too late.
Any other thoughts on that? Mascot?
It's a panda.
That's a good idea. Any other thoughts on that?
We do something similar to what John's doing, our Chinese New Year's festival. We get several hundred people.
Yeah. You put that together too, right? In your little thing. Yeah, that's right. How do you market that?
Free listings in the newspapers and some paid ads.
That's definitely a positioning thing, like you were saying. You know, community resource type stuff. That's huge. And any other one that like is like really low labor, low cost, works really well, is very martial artsy. Is we do the little break a board thing, right? But the whole concept is like in the orchestration of it is we're using it basically to set appointments, like for intros, right? So instead of just collecting a lead, we're actually setting an appointment. So we always do it in teams of two. You have an instructor and like a program person, right? Could be instructor, doesn't matter, right? And you know those little, you know that blue foam Tefal insulation you get for your house? You know what I'm talking about? It's just foam. Just cut it in little board shapes, right?
and you just have them break the board, you know, and they're really loud. They pop like they're really loud. So all it is a strategy to stop mom while you teach the kid for 2 minutes. You know what I mean? And you're teaching them about focus and how to keep their eye on the target and, you know, whatever. They do a kick or a punch or whatever, right? And it's pretty easy to break, but the whole idea is you kind of usher the kid to this side of the table while the program director is talking to mom on this side of the table, setting the appointment for the intro. You know? And, you know, I mean, it's pretty simple, but it stops them, and it's loud enough that it gets attention. You know, people hear it, and they're like, well, you know, that sort of thing. And we just throw the board away, and they win a prize or whatever. I mean, same deal, you know. But that kind of facilitates both purposes. You're collecting a lead, but you're also, like, actually trying to set an appointment at that time.
So you write the appointment time on half the board they keep?
Yeah, I never actually used to give them the board. We have a little appointment kit that we give them, you know, a little reminder and stuff like that. But and the only reason I didn't give them the board, honestly, was, like, I know I was going to see them laying all over the school courtyard, and, you know, who they're going to blame, right?
Right.
You know what I mean? So I had, and actually, this is how kind of silly I got with it, but when you buy the Tough-R insulation, it comes with a plastic sheet on each side. And I used to tear the plastic sheet off one side, so when they break it, it still holds it together, so it's all one, and it's there. But that was the only reason, was I just didn't want there to be a mess and them to blame me for the mess, you know. But it serves a purpose. It works really well. You know what I mean? All those school things are...
You do this right in front of your school? Is that what you do?
No, this is like in a carnival environment, okay. Like a booth or an event, yeah, or something like that. It's just right out in front of the booth. It's just basically to gather a crowd around.
We do the same thing. We just always use the rebreakable boards. It doesn't make the noise, but the other things to put them over seems to work.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That blue, there you go. It's the logistics aren't relevant. What's real relevant is you stop them for about 2 minutes in the program. You're talking to mom for about 2 minutes. You know what I'm saying? I mean, really, it's belly to belly. That was you guys did that Hopkins thing, right? That How to Master the Art of Selling Anything. Tom Hopkins was talking about, you know, one of the stories is when he did a seminar somewhere, and a guy came up to him at the end of the event and said, hey, you know, I really loved it, and I got a lot out of it, and I learned this and this and this and this. And he said, but, you know, you could have saved yourself a lot of time if you would have just showed everybody this. And you guys have seen the drawing, right? What's that?
It's a book.
Yeah. And Tom was like, well, what is that? He's like, you just got to get belly to belly with more people, right? You just got to go see more people, you know? And that's the whole deal with this is it's just like, how do you stop them to talk to them, and how do you do it in the right frame? And, you know, there's a lot of ways to screw that up. I mean, you know, we've all probably been to carnivals where, you know, the flaky instructor down the street's there, like, breaking cinder blocks with his head and thinks that that's going to attract the, you know, the mom over to sign up the seven-year-old, right? I mean, you know, we've all had that experience.
Turns around the screen.
This ain't that, right? This ain't that.
You seen the hand put away?
Yeah.
Oh, the movie's hilarious.
I hope none of my students.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, that's the fear, right?
Yeah,
Mesh Oliver sent an email around last night that said the subject line in the email, I think he sent it to Grandmaster Smith too, but it said the future of MMA, ?, and it had all these photos of, like, you know, people that are just tattooed from head to toe and have implants and piercings, weird stuff, you know.
Well, we rent space to a Gracie Jiu-Jitsu group. And
they're pretty traditional.
No.
The students
are... We're at a point where I'm almost ready to tell them they can't rent space from us anymore because they just... It's a different breed of people.
Any other event, booth-type thoughts? The child ID thing is big. I mean, it really is. It really is.
Having the break and all that. We used to try to, you know, set up intros. We'd set up a few people would come. And we made it a group thing, like there's a seminar on something, and if you break the board, you win a free pass. Just the kid winning something seemed to double the
show. Yeah. That's a good, like a free, like whatever it is, you know, like just a free session or a seminar. Something of value, yeah. Yeah, I like it a lot. And it's got to be a pretty quick turnaround too, you know. It's got to be within a few days, you know. You don't want them to wait, you know, 2 weeks or whatever. Okay. Any other event thoughts?
No? Excuse me.
Okay. All right, so we diverged there a little bit, Eric, but yeah, no, I got a page of notes. Where else are the herds at?
Well, I want to tap into the corporate herd.
Yeah.
I've made no effort to so far, but particularly with our programs, it's and it's a logical match.
Have you got any lawyers in your study with you?
I hope not, but probably.
we did corporate events. We haven't done it in a long time, but that's how we got in. Is the law firm, they have usually like a, I don't know if they call, they don't call them a show and tell. They have like a little 2-hour or 45-minute lunch thing where they have someone come in and do either a lecture or an actual physical thing, and they had us come in for their whole, all the lawyers and do a self-defense program, and then we offered the guest passes.
Tons of bankers, but they're all unemployed.
Yeah. Oh, geez, yeah. Well, yeah, Charlotte, right?
Turn me is for that yeah. lunch, yeah, but you might ask them your guys.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a hub. That's a hub. Wachovia seems like they're going to be fine. But they're, what are they now?
Wells Fargo.
Wells Fargo. Yeah, Wells. Yeah, yeah. Okay, what about, like, local Chamber of Commerce? I don't know. I've had a mixed bag with those guys, you know?
No, what's been working for me, kind of surprisingly, is I have one of my students, you know, is on reduced tuition, and my deal with, actually it's not reduced tuition, my deal with her is I'll waive a month of tuition for every women's group she gets me to speak in for me.
Right.
So I've got about one a month. So that's been helpful, because it puts me in front of the right people, well-connected women, often with kids, every month, so...
When you're talking about women's, what type of women's groups are you talking about?
You should create a side business for dating.
same market, right?
Rich entrepreneur. Anyway, business networking groups are huge. There's a lot of business networking groups out there. Women employees at large companies. There's sort of these social network groups, you know, like couples discussion groups or whatever. Anything she knows about. I mean, she's just one of those. She's a bookkeeper, so she knows everybody, right? What else is there? Oh, you know these candle parties and stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And party life.
Yeah.
Those people are well connected. I mean, they just know everybody.
Yeah. Just put MLM, the MLM niches. Yeah. I mean, all those guys. Yeah. Tupperware, all those things. Yeah.
Yeah. So. That's been helpful.
Well, let's redirect back around to corporate. Where's the corporate herd at? I've got two notes, but any thoughts on? Because I think you're right. Your thing, just like Peyton's, you know, branded appropriately. Peyton's deal is a big winner for, I think, the same market. Where do you find those guys at? What do you guys think? Where do you find the corporate you know? Heard.
Well, any executive company, you know, not a manufacturing company, any executive company where there's at least a couple hundred people, a lot of them have programs like you mentioned we've done in the past. You know, once a month they'll have an outside speaker or something. But how do you really get in to talk to the right person to get them to want to come either bring you in on a workshop thing or get them to come?
Yeah.
I don't know how to do that.
You have to go through your students.
It's like a different B2B thing.
Yeah, it's all hanging out with the students.
You know, one thing that I've done before is what every year I do it. Our Northeast Independent School District has this big...
Independent school district?
Yeah. It's one of our local school districts, but they have a workshops for all the teachers and new things that are coming out and those type of things like that. They always have us, because of their concern about violence in the classroom and those type of things like that. We always have my wife and I come out and do women's self-defense type stuff, dealing with the school environment. You know, because they're restricted by a lot of laws, but, you know, when somebody's attacking you, those laws kind of go out the window, you know. You worry about that later. And but that's something that we've made a lot of inroads on other issues because of that, too.
Yeah. I mean, you know, the elementary school, you know, the door into the elementary school, there's a million of them, you know.
Oh,
you just
got
to keep banging away at them until you get through one. And, you know, guidance is a good one. PE is a good one. PE has always been a big
one. You know what the simplest way to get into a school?
Guidance has been a good one, too.
Really? Let's go up and volunteer.
Yeah.
Go ahead and pass out papers and staple things for the teachers. And once they get to know you a little bit, it's okay, he's not a weird guy.
Exactly, yeah.
Then say, hey, look, I can teach a program in your gym.
Yeah, we like to give them stuff, too.
Yeah, that's what we did this year.
You guys, have you guys done that school thing yet?
My son, my son's school sent home a newsletter at the beginning of the year. They were looking for outside play equipment for the kids.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And we went and we bought like $300 worth of outside play equipment. And every teacher in the school got a letter stating that we bought it. And I've gotten every teacher in the school called us to come teach something in their class. So
The lowest labor way that I figured out how to do that is just that school supply drive we do every, you know, July or whatever, you know. So for like 5 weeks or 6 weeks, we have our students bring in supplies to donate to local schools, you know what I mean? And then, of course, we always pitch in, you know, $1,000 or $2,000 worth of stuff. You know, we always just go buy a bunch of stuff. But then you just kit it up, and you have, like, your instructors go deliver it to the elementary schools, you know, build rapport with them. And they've always given us, like, good like, testimony and stuff like that. It just opens the door, you know.
Next month is Administrative Profession Day.
Runs the school, so I don't know, kids write
cards, and then go to Costco and buy flowers and put the cards and flowers to the secretary.
Yeah. Look in the Maximum Impact Kit. I listed all the, not all of, but a lot of relevant holidays for the next couple of months. There's National Principals Day. Yep. Coming up next month.
May.
There's
the first week of May is Teacher Appreciation Week.
Teacher Appreciation Week.
We do something there's also every year.
Yeah. Just look in that Maximum Impact Kit. I listed like 30 of them in there, right? And a couple and there's like 10 of them that directly relate to like elementary schools, principals, administrative assistants, guidance, I think, recognition month. I mean, there's also it's ridiculous, man. Okay, so let's circle back around there again. The corporate herd, one more time. We've got local chambers of commerce, probably. You know, have you done any online looking? There's something called Merchants Circle online. That it's big. Yeah, I don't know if they're exactly the corporate type or not, or if they're more small business owners. I don't know.
It's more small business owners.
Is it? Is it?
And it's usually done based on reviews of people that use the small businesses.
Yeah, but I mean, when you become a member, there's a back network, but when you're looking at Merchant Circle as like a consumer, it's kind of showing you products you're looking for. But as a member of the thing, you're in like a business network. So you're like B2B network type stuff. Mm-hmm. So that might be. I mean, there might be some other online opportunities, like social networks online for business, you know, business owners.
Have you approached human resource directors or anything yet?
I haven't.
I mean, that's something that we're looking at doing. I have IBM right in my hometown. We have two plants. I mean, we have one 2 minutes up the road and one 10 miles up the road. You know, side by side with each other. So that's something we're looking at doing too.
That's pretty strong. Any other thoughts on that? How do you find those guys? Where are they?
It's also important what your topic is. I don't think self-defense is going to be the tangential stuff that they're looking for.
For us, what we're working on right now, just as an idea, is we're putting together a sales letter on the benefits, health benefits to reduce health insurance costs to employers, you know, for, you know, their employees. You know, if their employees are working out and they're healthy and their stress level's down, they're going to use their health insurance less and you're going to save money on the other end.
That's a good angle. I know Peyton has a couple angles on it. He's got a good number of these programs operating already that are pretty successful models. And I know his big thing is like that team building. Like, so he'll be useful to listen to on Saturday and jot down some of his statistics. He's pretty good at that. But one of the things he did was I think he used to work for IBM, but he did sort of like big picture stuff with corporate organizations, like corporate organization, you know. And there's like inefficiencies and things like that that creep into, you know, every additional human being you add to the matrix increases complexity at an arithmetically increasing, you know, ratio. But he's got a pretty good angle on that, so that might be pretty useful for that. And the big thing is he's putting them basically through like an Anthony Robbins type of an experience where they're, you know, co-bonding with each other and they have like this breakthrough experience as a group, you know, to kind of create better team relationships and stuff like that. So those might be the right messages, you know. Stress relief, definitely. The health insurance thing, I think that's interesting. Health benefits. Any other thoughts on that?
Yeah, the team building thing. Actually, one of my students is a financial advisor. She keeps asking me, why don't I recruit corporations to come do team building? Because they have 10,000 square feet, lots of space, and apparently the companies are paying $1,000 to rent because again, just how do you get into the right?
That's interesting. And you know, the one piece of leverage that doesn't work, or maybe doesn't, I mean, I'm trying to think through it, but the piece of leverage that we normally have on business to business is we've got a herd that, like, they want. You know what I mean? But when you're going to the corporate market, you know, you don't have that leverage out.
You know what I mean? But there's still a what's in it for me, absolutely, the key person, just knowing that key person.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, I think online you find a bunch of these guys, a bunch of these organizations. Okay. Okay, so we've got B2B Shock and Awe. Okay, what's next, Eric?
I can say one thing that's been good. I always have volunteer committees, 8 different committees for different functions within our school. And about 3 years ago, my wife's retired relative, we hired him to do all the groundskeeping and do all the things that volunteers used to do. And with the cutbacks, we really are looking to save money, so we've been paring down our expenses, so we canceled paying him to do that and brought back the volunteer committees, and it really does a lot for retention.
And that's inside the school, so these are people volunteering to do stuff. And if you don't know, Harrison, describe your location a little bit. I mean, it might make sense for what you're talking about, you know?
Well, it's a freestanding building, around 12 acres, in the residential part of Charlotte.
Well, I mean, like, it's sort of like a, how do you describe it? It's a cultural center, right? It used to be like a Chinese cultural center. So you've got like gardens and stuff and that whole deal going on out there. So some pictures in the magazine.
Can you say what different commissions you have? Because I think that whole mission is
true. Committees, yeah. If you remind me when I get back, I can turn on the thing. But you have like a community relations committee, a communications committee, landscaping committee, building maintenance committee, special events committee, scholarship committee. And each committee has a committee captain. And, you know, find the people who are into that kind of thing.
This is a big retention issue, you know, I mean, the more involved they are. You know, the one thing that came to mind when you're talking about that is, like, everybody has these in some form or another in their state. It goes back to the kids market again. It goes back to the herd of kids, but the schools. But SAC councils, you guys know all the school advisory councils? They have those in every state. They might be called something different in every state. But, it's called the school advisory council. And basically, they meet like one night a month or something like that. And ours is, I know, they're different in every school. But when Charles said, you know, to volunteer at the school, that's one of the things that we actually have skill sets to bring to the table for those guys in many cases that they don't perceive that they're running a school, right? But they have the same problems we have. They have the same parents we have. They have the same students we have. They have the same challenges we have, right? They're the same people, right? So, you know, one of the ways we got into one of the schools in Florida actually was I was on the school advisory council, and they were having challenges with teaching, you know, like, they're trying to do the same thing, you know. They don't have time to teach character in class. That's their, like, loser's limp, right? that's their position, is that they're too busy teaching for a test, you know. So we sort of taught them how to use some of the things that we're using in the martial arts school, like the little homework assignments and the reward systems and all that sort of stuff. And they started using that in the elementary school. You know, I mean, that elementary school, we do a school program there twice a year, you know, every year. I mean, there's no resistance, whatever. There will probably never be any resistance there, whatever, you know. But, I mean, the school advisory council is a big deal. And, you know, one night a week, I mean, or one night a month, I mean, come on, right? It's not a big issue.
Break down the barriers because they get to trust you.
Yeah. I mean, the one of the big things was I taught them how to use voice broadcast. You know, they've got this massive budget. They've got this massive budget. I mean, they claim they don't, right? But they've got this huge budget, and they could never get anybody to show up to PTA meetings, right? Like, the biggest PTA meeting they ever had there, like, ever before we started talking about this stuff, was they'd have, like, 6 guys show up, you know, something like that, right? Well, I mean, it's difficult to get anything done, right? So they said, well, you know, we put it in the newsletter every month, and just nobody ever shows up. it's a newsletter. Who the hell's reading the, who's, you know, come on, right? Like, the top 5% of the parents are going to read the thing. So if you have 1,000 students, you know, 50 of them read it, and probably, you know, 3 of them paid attention, you know. So we had them use email and voice broadcast to drive traffic to the PTA meetings. Now that, you know, they have tons of people now, you know, 40, 50 people at a meeting. But I mean, you know, mostly it was because they didn't know, and they didn't know in the right, you know, far enough ahead of time, and you know, all that sort of stuff. And, you know, voice broadcast was cheap, but anyway, you get the idea, right? But the school advisory council is pretty huge. Any other thoughts on that, Eric? So the advisory committees are working.
And I guess my last thing that I would like help with is how to get kids signed up for summer camp.
Yeah. Anybody want to take a shot at that?
Postcards. We use postcards. We put a big, those birthday signs and the yard signs, we put those out in the street. Those do great for us.
Yeah. Especially right now. Lawn signs.
You got to start marketing them right now.
Yeah, to all of your warm leads, people that haven't enrolled, send out the summer camps coming and put the thing out there. That's our home run for summer camps. And of course, internal with your students.
Yeah, what are you doing already? I'm sure you're doing email and you're doing, you know, all that sort of stuff, right?
Well, we're in all the paper listings. I have all that kind of stuff we're doing. Charlotte can't put signs out anymore. It's like heavy-duty fines, but the neighboring towns have signs out.
Do you run summer camp every year?
We didn't last year because the year before it was so bad. Sometimes you got to just focus on what you're good at and bad at.
Sure. Right.
You know what a lot of guys do with those signs that seems to be getting around that is two things. The guy that stands up there and holds it, because it gets around the laws, and the other thing is the guys put it in the back of their pickup truck, and it's constantly being moved, so you they can, before they see it, it's moved. Yeah. So those are two ways they're getting around it.
In our area, if you put them out in the morning and take them down in the evening, you're good.
Yeah.
If you leave them out, that's when the police are going to come.
Which is good. It's a good point that there's different laws in every location, in every locale, and it's always local law. You know what I mean? And like really the best, I don't want to say the best technique. It's different wherever you're at, right? But I know like the only trick I know about it is if you put them out on Friday night, usually get the weekend, right? Because mostly code enforcement guys aren't working on the weekend, right? I mean, you know, that's the only thing I know about that. But yeah, there are lots of little municipality laws and stuff like that, and they can get pretty aggressive. I mean, they can get ugly on you, you know.
Sign police are vicious.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, they can. Yeah, I mean, they can whack you pretty
just
hard.
Keep some donuts on hand, and when they come in, they complain. Right. Hey, here, have a donut.
Well, ours used to be $100 fine, which I thought was fine. Once advertising $100 is good.
Yeah, $106. Yeah.
Every time you get caught, it doubles.
Yeah.
Keeps on accruing.
Stacks, yeah.
Ooh, that can get rough real quick.
Yeah.
See, ours is good because I have 30 days to comply.
That's a whole different deal, yeah. That's what it is. Yeah. Okay. Whoops. What happens next?
If we're having, we can hand out, you know, stacks of 30 to all the teachers at the elementary schools in April for the summer camps. We're going to do that.
Yeah.
You know what was a huge bump for me? Was a buy 7 weeks, get 3 weeks free. I was doing summer this summer. I did it last year. I did $28,000 summer camp sales in February. And this year I didn't promote it as well, so I did $15,000 summer camp sales last month.
Promoting it
I put a slide on my, you know, on-screen TV. I put up a couple posters and I announced it.
But also to your students.
To my own students, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's a good question. Are you looking at internal or external?
Both.
Yeah.
I'd say about 60% of my summer camp business is internal, 40% is external. Jason, you really
he starts in January.
Yeah,
he starts in January.
Another thing that helpful, it sounds weird. I get a lot of referrals from the local community counseling group. You know, for I get DCF, I get a lot of DCF money for summer camp. You know, Department of Children and Families, whatever it is in your state's social services. I get a lot of referrals from there. You can have to move them over. You know, usually have to kick, you know, you get 10 kids, you just kick one out. Not ready for it, but that's big. Pizza flyers are really good because they're going to the right community.
Have sensory is.
I stick them on the boxes. And for the first time in my life, Domino's came to me and said, I want to be Pizza Party. And they've done Domino's, they've done Pizza Hut, and Little Caesars.
Papa John's sophisticated with that now. They'll sell it. They'll sell the space now.
Yeah.
You can buy that space now.
Yeah.
It's individual franchisees, but I know I've seen now a couple of different things. I'm kind of paying attention to a lot of other guys doing franchising, right? And that's one of the revenue streams that the franchisees have now, is they can sell the space on the pizza box tops.
Yeah. It used to be that if I photocopied someone's menu, I could put whatever I wanted on it.
Yeah.
But nowadays, there's marketing companies that sell the ad space.
Yeah, exactly.
Got a better deal.
I just ask quickly, anybody who has a summer camp, what's your rate on it? Out of curiosity.
I charge...
You're talking about like a day camp, right?
I charge $125 a week if you're a student, because you're already paying tuition and stuff, and $165, $175 a week if you're not.
This is all day.
Like 9 to 3 or something like that.
59 a week, regardless of who they are. If it's 9:30 to 3:30 p.m.
We're doing 300 a week. That's 9 to 1.
It's a sliding scale, though.
If
you sign for 1 week, you pay
$300,
and then you sign
up
for
1 year.
So you guys
are in Northern Virginia, though, right? If you do all 10, then it's 150.
So you do continuous week after week all summer.
Yeah, you don't have to. You can go the first week. You go the third week.
But, I mean, you run them.
They do them all summer.
That's too much.
That's a lot.
Can't handle it.
They have a couple guys that just take care of it.
We
have a uniform like that.
What we found is, I've tried it a whole bunch of different ways, I've done it for many, many, many years, is that, you know, if we went to week by week, and what I found was that they were a hard time committing, because they might go to grandma's, they might not go to grandma's, and so you staff for what you think it is, and all of a sudden you've got twice as many kids as you thought, and the next week you're staffed for that, and then you have half as many kids as you, and it's, so then we went, tried it 1 year, is that we only sold 1 month blocks at a time, and that cut it down, because, you know, why are they going to pay for a whole month when, you know, one of the weeks they're going to be at grandma's house, or they got a court order to go to dad's, or whatever the case may be. So we found that works best for us is to do it in 2 week blocks. And that way you're able to stabilize your staff that way, but at the same time also stabilize the revenue.
I have a $50 a week deposit that takes care of that real well.
That's good. Deposit. I mean, really, there's three questions here, right? Question number one is, do you want to do the thing all summer long, right? Or do you want to do it like, you know, a couple of weeks or a week or whatever?
Well,
know, right?
One of the way I don't want to deal with summer camp all long, but we run it all summer long.
Yeah.
But what I did is that I basically traded out. We've got everybody's got teachers that are in their school. Well, summertime they don't work. So in the case of ours, is that we had. D. Gomez, she comes in and she runs the summer camp because her schools are her dogs are trained in the school. And we charge her throughout the year and after school, and then when it comes to summer camp time, she kind of pays it back, so to speak. So no money is exchanged per se. But so you know, we don't have to take out of, you know, income tax and all that stuff. But the bottom line is that she's very, very capable, because that's what they do in the school all year round. Sure. They're used to handling kids. And then, of course, we have the other staff members, but she's the one that takes lead on it. That way, she opens up in the morning, she deals with the stuff. And
that's pretty clever. I'm sure a bunch of them are out there looking for stuff, I mean, especially with things the way they are, right?
Yeah, 3 or 4.
Which, by the way, I mean, it's totally a tangent, but, you know, we just hired 2 guys at DAPMA. I mean, look, there is a lot of talent in the employee pool right now, you know what I mean, and like cheap talent. I mean, not cheap, but you know, you there are a lot of bargains in the market right now. It's like if you're buying a house, you know what I mean.
Right.
If you've got cash and you want to go buy a house, I mean, you know, now's the time, right? But I mean, with people too, I mean, we just put on a guy who's vice president of marketing for a pretty big company as like a sales guy to orchestrate a bunch of the sales stuff, and you know, I mean, this is probably $100K year guy, you know, we got him for 40, you know, I mean, there's a lot of that out there, but I think that's a good angle, you know, this is a really good idea. See, this gives you another reason to go talk to the elementary school teachers at the school. Another way to, like, ingratiate yourself with them is, hey, by the way, You know, are any of you guys looking for extra money during the summertime? See, that's a really good idea. And you know they're already... See, I'm working now, right? And in Florida, you know they're already... Well, we all know that they're already background checked, right? For us, they've already got Jessica Lunsford Act, they've already got CPR, they've already got first aid, they've already got the stuff we want them to have anyway.
That's what I'm saying. They're already...
That's clever.
...versed in their... in the field and dealing with the kids.
That's real clever.
So it's a no-brainer. And nobody really calls it a question because you've got certified teachers that are running your summer camp program.
Well, now you've got issues with it down there, but you know that's a whole different deal.
Yeah, but
that's a whole different deal.
I had a real good day yesterday.
It's good. Yeah, we need to talk about
it. I charge $250 a week with if you get 7 weeks, if whatever's left, the summer's free. $50 a day. I think I did it with $60 a day this year. Because there are some people who want to be there Tuesday, Thursday, but don't want to be there the rest of the week. Because, you know, they work.
Any other thoughts on tuition for those? I know we're doing $249, but...
Yeah, we did $199.
Well, we only do 2 weeks in the summer.
That's all we're doing, too. Yeah. We did $199 this year, but if you registered before March 1st, so that I had a good grouping, it was like $169.
Yeah, that's what's going on here, too. He's got this big banner out here. It's like $99 right now. And then we got the thing to put over it. You know, it'll go up every... He should have done it the other way around. He should have done the, you know, $279 with the big X through it, and then $99. But... Can lead a horse to water, right? Any other thoughts on that?
We did something similar to that last year. Worked real good for us, but I didn't think about doing it with the.
Well, with vinyl too, they have that stuff that you can just peel off.
Oh yeah.
Peel it off and just change it. Any other thoughts on that? I mean, obviously to promote the thing, I mean, email, direct mail, the lead list, I mean, all that stuff, right? And any other uniquely summer opportunity to promote those things that may not exist the rest of the year?
Post-season parties for local sports teams.
Yeah.
It's a good opportunity. And what you do is you offer them a discount for a particular week, which you want in June, July, so that if there's any space left in your August camps, you can fill them up with those guys. You know, say, oh, it's $100 for you to come. And I always do that too. I give my students a half-price coupon for 1 week of summer camp. And then the 1 week is like week one or week two, because I know people who come tend to want to come back because they're, you know, it's nice not having kids around for a week.
Which, as the summer, which if we're all smart, we should be charging more the fourth week of the summer than we do the first, because by then the parents are more irritated.
Exactly.
And the other thing I'm going to do this year is
that's so true, exactly.
The last few years I've had like a few spots left in my August week, so sometime in mid-July I'm going to have a clearance sale. I'll drop my prices on summer camp for anything that's remaining.
Well, see, we're in a tough spot with summer camp because a local town does summer camp, and it's $75 and includes all the trips for the entire summer.
Yeah, there's a lot of that. But you know what?
Teachers,
you look at
the
compared to
yeah, they are, because we go in and we teach. So
Jonathan's about to make
the students enrolled than worry about the summer camp.
Teach karate. Teach the good stuff. That's how you frame it.
Jonathan's about to write the
major. I was shocked. I went online because I went to my prices. I should have raised my prices, man. $225 a week, a lot of money. It's like almost $1,000 a month, man. Who can afford that? And then I went online, looked at private camps. Mm. I was the cheapest damn thing on the planet. Oh, I mean, like, soccer camp, $399, you know, horseback camp, $1,200 a week, you know, music camp, $800 a week.
Okay,
who can afford it? You know, because they're still in business. So I found one camp that was in the $200 range that was private. I mean, there are subsidized camps, you know, YWCA and whatnot, they're cheaper, but in the private camp market, $200 a month is a steal.
Yeah, absolutely.
It'd be interesting to see how they do this year. Like, really different.
It may be.
Yeah, I don't know. I think if you can pay $1,200 a week
in your area,
horseback riding, that's not going to change much unless you lost your job.
Well, I mean, overall, the volume is going to change, right? I mean, overall, I think, you know, the ratio, the volume is going to change for everybody. But the real deal is what's the return on investment, you know? And if those guys, if the guys that are going to struggle, we talked about this earlier, the guys who are going to struggle, this is my, like, humble opinion, the guys who are really going to struggle with all this stuff are the people whose expenses, who have fixed expenses that are high enough that require them to actually go do something, right? But aren't willing to, you know? So like, the summer camp market, it would be the guys who are doing, you know, a lot of trips and stuff that have a lot of overhead expenses. but can't generate enough volume to pay for the overhead expenses, right? In our case, almost all of our costs are fixed anyway. You know, so we're really like in the very fortunate part of that mix, right? So we're not taking them to like Universal Studios and paying $80 a ticket. You know what I mean? So we don't have that nut to crack. So I think we're in a unique position on that deal to be really competitive in the marketplace. You know, to really have a lot. But the other point on this that I think is, you know, useful isn't necessarily how you market your own summer camp, but this is one of our busiest times of the year is, you know, the first couple of weeks, the first, like, let's say 4 or 5 weeks of summer. Because we're doing stuff at everybody else's camps. Yep. You know what I'm saying? So, like, everybody else, the kids market is captive in the summertime. You know? A big chunk of it is. Because they're at everybody else's camps doing stuff, you know? So all the elementary schools and stuff, we go in and do little programs for those guys and all that stuff. And all these guys right now, I think we've got our summer full already. But, well, yeah, I think we're full already. But right now, if you go and talk to all the local elementary schools, and usually it's like their after-school coordinator or somebody that handles their summer camp. There's a human being that handles that. Right now, they're going out of their mind trying to fill the hours. You know, they're going blind just trying to figure out, okay, we're at the pool this day, we're at the skating rink this day, what the hell do we do with these other 3 days of the week? You know, and they're just trying to plug in everything they can. And if you can go in there with a good solution, I mean, literally summer is so busy for our staff guys. Because every day we're at two or three different little programs, sometimes a little daycare with only, you know, 70 or 80 students. But most of the time it's at a summer camp with two or three hundred students, you know, like in the big elementary schools.
What do you guys do with the 200-300 student thing? Do you just have a big, like, karate class? Wow.
Yeah. Well, we do our after-school program deal, which we'll talk about that.
Oh, okay. Right.
But we do the exact same model.
What's your follow-up with those
people? What do you mean?
If you go into a church or a day camp,
that's what I just thought.
How are you generating
the? Well, it's always the program. It's always our thing is always the school program that we know works during the summer. Same thing, right? So we're doing like a visit a week for 3 weeks or two visits a week for a couple. But
you have kids that sign up for not the whole camp.
Both. See, when you're in a camp, it's a little different because what do you do with the kids who aren't going to do anything?
Well, what do you do with a camp with 300 kids?
Break them up into two chunks. 150 at a time. The thing is, if they have 300 kids, they have facility to handle 300 kids, right? Mm-hmm. So let's say, like the biggest one we do is this place called DeBerry. They have 1,100 students in there, you know, during the school year, and they'll have about 400 of them at the summer camp, right? Because they have a bunch of the student population, but they also market outside, right? So we'll have about 400 of them, and we'll break them into two 200 groups or like 300 and something groups, right? And see, they're in a big area that has PA. So if you got a stage and a microphone, man, you can teach a lot of people. Anthony Robbins does 30,000 people in a sports stadium. Dude, we can do 100. You know what I'm saying? And I ain't Anthony Robbins, right? But you know, you get the idea. Mm-hmm. But if you have a microphone,
we did that last year.
Take two or three helpers with you. Yeah, you're aces.
So you're setting up the model where they then come to a graduation at your school or something like that.
Yeah. It's always repetitive touches at the location. So we do one visit a week, maybe for 3 weeks or 4 weeks or whatever, or two for a couple weeks. You know, whatever, however that is. The ultimate drive is you're driving back to a graduation, but we're having more success now enrolling them earlier than we are later in the graduation cycle. Right. We're enrolling more now before the graduation than. Well, actually,
how are y'all doing that?
We have a million excuses for them to come back into the school. And you make them up, right? But every time you go, you have an excuse for them to have to come Wednesday night. Or to have to come Saturday morning. Or to have to come next Monday. You know what I mean?
And how are you physically doing? Because you're not getting any parents at the camp. It's all the kids.
Yeah, but they have better control over check-in and check-out at these camps, right? So we have 100% permission slips, right? So we have 100% permission slips, and before we teach the first class, we have a parent orientation the morning they drop the kids off. So almost all the kids get dropped off between like 9 and 10, right? So at, let's say, 9:30, whatever, we have parent orientation where we get all the parents, and, you know, we tell them what we're going to do and that whole thing, just like we do with elementary. It's exactly the same model. The only exception is one notable exception is that with their summer camps, you will have, in many cases, students that will be there this week, but not the following, and then they're the third, and not, or vice versa. But either way, it's all capturing all 100% of the permission slips up front, right? The first day, the first whenever they sign up for it. And then it's follow, get them on the phone, get into the school, you know? And I've got a lot of little tricks I can show you guys, you know, later on. The big one is the sticker now, but that's beside the point. But I mean, just any, you know, it's every excuse you can think of to get him back into the school. And, you know, we do like the anti-abduction class that Saturday, the child ID thing the following Wednesday, the, you know, whatever. You know what I mean? Anything you can think of. Any, you give him excuses to be there, you know.
We stole that sticker idea from you for our school talks, and it works great.
It's brilliant. The stuff doesn't get lost. You put the thing right on there, you know. But I guess the moral of that story is, and we can go over the A to Z on the school thing later on today, or tomorrow. But the moral of that part of the story is that segment of the market is captive in all these little camps right now, you know. And right now they're all going crazy trying to figure out how to fill the hours. So why wouldn't it be with us, you know? And my recommendation would be, if you're not doing it already, I know you guys are, but if you're not doing it already, start making calls right now. I mean, start having your staff guys go to all the elementary schools, find out who the summer camp facilitator is. Just find out who they are, and just go talk to them. I mean, literally, there's no excuse. I mean, let's not say excuse, but let's put it this way. In the Orange City School right now, the franchisee in place right now has delegated 100% of this responsibility to the least experience of the instructors that I had in place. And right now we have 17 programs set up for the first 2 months of the year. 17 different locations, right? And they're churches, daycares, elementary schools, private schools, you know, you name it, right? Now, some of them are just one-day hits. I hate those things, right? But most of them are, you know, I go 9 o'clock in the morning, I go over to this daycare, 11:30, I go over here, 1 o'clock, I go over there, and then I'm back to the school. You know what I mean? That sort of thing. Even a blind squirrel can find a nut once in a while, right? So, I mean, with 17 of these things, if they don't do 35 enrollments a month in, you know, July, August, September, or June, July, August, I mean, they're just not trying. You know what I mean? But literally, right now, these facilitators are freaking out trying to figure out how they're going to fill all these hours with these kids. You know? Cool. So, if you want more details on that, when we make it around, I'm more than happy to do all that.
Wow. That would be good. I want to know how you guys facilitate doing that many kids.
It's not that hard.
It really isn't. We did two groups of 100 last year, and it wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be.
But there's still the same system for the after-school program, like all the striping.
Well, you have to modify some stuff. But I was going to say, because... It's not that tough. In broad strokes, it's this. If you've got a stage and a PA, right, if you've got a microphone and stuff, and we just plug into their house sound. I bring my own little thing and a little wireless, right, little lamp. In fact, the one sitting right over there. You've got the ability to overwhelm any possible noise, right? That's the big challenge. If you can't do that, if you're on the same level with them and you're trying to scream over 100, they're going to eat you alive, right? But normally what we take is however many rows we have, we try to have, you know, one or two facilitators per like row, and they can be good kids. I mean, they don't have to be, you know, 21-year-old instructors or anything like that. And they're just kind of all trained to do it. This is a big lead generator for us. So we take a lot of time to train the people that are helping us how to do it, you know. But I don't know how to explain it, but, you know, if you've got three or four little helpers, plus you've got their summer camp staff, you know. Part of our pitch, by the way, when we go into the deal is this is an hour that the staff gets to kind of take off. You know, they don't really need to be there for that hour. I mean, they're always there. They never do anything, but they get an hour off, right? In reality, we always have them help us with something. You know, we let them give them the stripe, we let them give them one assignment, right? But there's some logistics that are a little more complicated with 100 people with a homeroom and stuff like that. But it's just not a big enough. It's not what you might perceive it to be, like such an overwhelming challenge.
It's not insurmountable.
No. It's so huge, man. And the big, you know, I mean, yeah. It deserves some time later. It sounds like it deserves some time.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let me add this to the. Where's the other part of my list here? I'll add that to the what we need to accomplish tonight or tomorrow list. Okay, that question was now, how do you drive traffic basically to summer camp, right? That was the last part of the question. We talked about direct mail, lawn signs are a challenge, pizza flyers, sports programs, email, of course, newspaper listings, elementary school fresh, community service, DCF. I know that their websites, I had a couple referrals last year. It was the first time I ever got any referrals from this site, but it's like mysummercamps.com. Mm-hmm. There's a few of them out there that are free. And I had like two referrals last year. It was the first time I've ever seen anything from those. So I'm not sure if that's very effective or not. But I got a couple last year. Any other thoughts on how to drive traffic, like what media you're using on these things?
We do a buddy day at our camp, so you can bring a friend, and we get a lot of kids who bring their friend, and we convert them to summer campers or intros or whatever.
Yeah. You know, it might be worth, like...
Did you, like, every week you do that?
Yeah, Wednesday is buddy day, and on Monday we hand them a thing that says you can bring...
During the camp you're talking about.
Yeah.
Oh, I see. And then you're trying to convert them to the next week or whatever.
And on Wednesday, we just have to do a giant intro class with everybody.
That's a really good idea. It's a really good idea to use the students that are in the camp to bring other people that want to go to the camp. That's a really good idea.
We built that into our pricing. Bring a friend, you each get 20% off.
Yeah. Here's an idea that might deserve to be floated around that might apply to this is, you know, one of the things, like, again, we've the framing of this is we've taken almost all the money out of media and put it in people, right? The telemarketing function, all the stuff it takes to get that to happen, and also all the referral stuff. And the birthday party type thing, I don't like it. We're not doing as much of it down there. We're doing a bit of it down there. I'm not doing as much of it as they are out here, but I'm doing a lot of those pizza party things, which are huge, still a huge force, right? But the birthday thing is, like, while they're enrolling the student, they set up their, like, birthday party, right? If it's within, you know, a reasonable amount of months or whatever, they set it up right then. I wonder if that isn't a strategy for everybody who enrolls in the school starting, like, January 1st. While they're enrolling, you're, like, enrolling them in the summer camp, too, you know? You've already got the sale closed. You know, conversation number two is, by the way, what are you guys doing in the summertime? Oh, I don't know. We're looking at dance camp or something. Well, by the way, I didn't know if you knew it, but... So that might deserve to be part of the sales process, right? That can't hurt.
You're talking about the Stripe Award pizza parties, the one I'm talking about?
Yeah.
We just started doing those.
It's awesome.
And I got 3 enrollments from the first one, so that was good.
You gotta always tweak it, but yeah. Save so much money. We're gonna talk about that actually at the show. I'm gonna give everybody a little done for you kit thing for that.
Done for you is always so nice.
Now you know why. Now you know why. If I return your emails, it's always at like 4 a.m. You know.
Yeah, right.
And by the way, I haven't ignored any deliberately lately. My email did crash, so.
I think the best strategy for me is I should send one of my employees to go volunteer to be your assistant for a month.
I could use one. And I'll tell you, I've done that. I did that before. Did I ever tell you the story? Anyway, you get the idea. Any other thoughts on that? How are you driving traffic to summer camps right now? I mean, the elementary school thing is obviously pretty big, but usually they have some kind of restriction, like you can only do it once, or you can do it during a certain week, or something like that. But that's useful.
Good ideas.
Thank you. Good. Okay, good. Well, I think we're perfect on time. It's noon now.